Maybe there's something about Jesus that I've overlooked. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 83. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today we're back in the book of Mark. We'll read chapters 3 and 4. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, go to bible.lifespringmedia.com and find episode 83. Have you noticed I don't take any outside advertisers? That's because advertisers have a way of influencing the content, and I never want to feel like I have to compromise any part of the Word of God or my thoughts concerning it. So this is a listener-supported show. Any donation is very much appreciated, but if you sign up for a weekly, monthly, or quarterly donation, you'll receive early access to the podcast. As soon as I post a new episode, you'll be notified with a link to the show. Now, sometimes I post shows days in advance and sometimes just the day before, but if you're signed up as a weekly, monthly, or quarterly donor, you'll be notified as soon as the file is put onto my servers. You can find out more at lifespringmedia.com/support. And thank you for praying about it and then following what God leads you to do. Our Heavenly Father, as we open up your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see what you have for us this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's begin. Mark chapter 3. Now he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a paralyzed hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. He told the man with a paralyzed hand, "Stand before us." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do what is good, or to do what is evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. After looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of their hearts, he told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a large crowd followed from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. The large crowd came to him because they heard about everything he was doing. Then he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, so the crowd would not crush him. Since he had healed many, all who had diseases were pressing toward him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, those possessed fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God," and he would strongly warn them not to make him known. Then he went up the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He also appointed 12. He also named them apostles, to be with him, to send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12. To Simon he gave the name Peter. And to James the son of Zebedee, and to his brother John, he gave the name Boanerges, that is, Sons of Thunder. Andrew, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not even able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him, because they said, "He's out of his mind." The scribes who had come down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul in him," and, "He drives out demons by the ruler of the demons." So he summoned them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rebels against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is finished. On the other hand, no one can enter a strong man's house and rob his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he will rob his house. I assure you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies they may blaspheme. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Because they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him and told him, "Look, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are outside asking for you." He replied to them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who were sitting in a circle around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's talk for a minute about Jesus calming the storm. We read that the disciples came to wake up Jesus because they were afraid of the storm at sea. They were afraid for their lives. They were panicked. What happened next? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?" And what does it say next? "And they were terrified." Remember a few days ago, I talked about how we take God the Father too lightly because of the grace we receive from Jesus' shed blood? Here we have the disciples who've spent a great deal of time with Jesus at this point, and one would assume that by now they knew him fairly well. And they were terrified. Not afraid. Not panicked. Terrified. Beloved, I don't know about you, but I usually think of the disciples at this point in their education from Jesus as just not having as good an understanding of who Jesus is as I do. I mean, I've read the whole book, so I know who Jesus is. Now, I know that sounds presumptuous, and I'm sure it is, but hear me out. I met a fellow yesterday, and as it turned out, he's a believer. And in our conversation, he brought up this very parable. And in our discussion, he pointed out that at first, the disciples were terrified of the storm. But when Jesus calmed the storm with just his word, they were terrified of him. And that got me to thinking. I usually think of Jesus as being generally soft-spoken and easygoing. Strong, to be sure, but not someone with an intimidating demeanor. Certainly not someone to engender terror. But maybe I have it wrong. I must have it wrong, don't you think? I mean, if the disciples who lived with him were terrified, maybe there's something about Jesus that I've overlooked. And of course, there is. Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is God. He is fully human and fully God. And since that is true, Jesus has every bit of power that God the Father has, and is just as offended by my sin as the Father is. And talk about power. Colossians 1:17 says that he holds all creation together. All creation. Think of it. Without the power of Jesus, all of creation, you, me, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, all creation would come apart. The only reason I'm here is because he allows it. If I'm honest with myself, I should be at least a little terrified of him. It's only because of his unfathomable love that the terror I should feel is balanced with the peace that passes all understanding that he gives to me. He has promised that because I've placed my faith in him, I have been adopted into his family, and I am secure and safe today, tomorrow, and all the tomorrows to follow. I can rest in that, and I do. But I also have a new appreciation for the immeasurable, infinite, and awesome power of my Savior. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow is Sunday, and that means we're reading from the epistles. We'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Please visit lifespringmedia.com/support and take a look around, and then pray and ask God what he would have you do. Thank you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.